How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Ingles driving, underhand scoop with a score. Joe Ingles with five straight. Utah by 13, and Ingles with 14 points, four rebounds, and four assists.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 29th of March from Sacramento, where the Jazz get ready for the Kings. And what do they do for a rotation? We'll talk a little bit about the impact Alec Burks is having. Or is it really Alec Burks? Or is it really just a lot of numbers that say something that's not really fair to Alec Burks? We'll try to figure that out. Plus, I sat down with Jason Ross yesterday. We'll share that with you as well. It's all part of the Locked On Podcast Network and Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're great. One thing we've been doing on the Locked On Podcast Network is we've been kind of sharing content. So because nobody competes with each other, if I sat down with the Bulls guys, or really it happens all the time, if the Cavaliers sit down with the Bulls guys and they both post the podcast on their own. I have not been doing that, but Jason Ross and I did a podcast yesterday to get ready for this game. And so I'm going to put that on the backside of today's podcast. So you'll get that as well. And you can give me some feedback whether you like that or not and start doing that more. Fred Katz and I have done some stuff, and I haven't always thrown on the backside of what I do. So maybe we'll do that more upcoming. All right. Today's show is brought to you by Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. Always. Devin was one of our original sponsors. Really appreciate and support Devin and his ventures as an agent, and just love getting the stories, one of which I'll share with you today, that I've gotten from numerous Locked On Jazz people and have the community stretching outside of just the, you know, me information now that you're helping each other's lives and stuff like that. Really, 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 really cool stuff. All right, let's go to our pins across the world. It's always where we open the show. I've got some research I did yesterday on the plane. Today's show's funky. So I did some research on the plane yesterday about AB, and I don't know if it's just because I like AB and I'm rooting for him, and really at this point I feel terrible for him, that the injuries have just seemingly changed who he was as a player. But I went and looked at some stuff. I'll share it with you. I'm trying to make some sense out of it. I'm not even sure I've done that. This might, you know, let me. In an age and day and age of fake news, right? you know, make sure when I do research stuff, I can make things sound really convincing. Make sure you listen. Make sure you decide whether you think it's right. You know, you should probably do that with things other than Jazz basketball. You know, more so. But I really would make sure you're listening to what I'm telling you. Or make sure you're listening to what I'm saying and whether you believe it or not. Just don't take it at faith. You know, I'm not, like, I don't have any agenda. Don't misunderstand that. I just, I just think that you should, I don't know. Like, you'll see. All right, let's go to our pins across the world. My name is Andy Wiley. I grew up a Lakers fan in Anaheim, California. I moved to Utah during the Carlos Arroyo years. Wow, that's not a phrase I've heard very often. Really became a Jazz fan because of AK-47. I now work as a rickshaw driver outside of the Jazz Arena before and after most home games. Oh, really? That's kind of cool. I'm also a season ticket holder, so I make it to most games sans the first and last 6 minutes to play. No way. Really? That's really cool if that's true. Favorite Jazz moment is the Paul Millsap tip-in to send the game to OT in the Jazz-Mavs game during overtime in the late-season playoff push many years ago. That's kind of cool. I like that. Andy, hope you're having a great day today. Thank you very much for your pin across the world. All right, here's the tip-off story of the day. So when I was talking about all of the players the other day that were inefficient and they left their lineup, and then the teams got better, I began to wonder if we had anything similar. And if you look at our pack rating, I mean, Trey Lyles is not good this year. He's a minus 1.2, but he's not really playing. And Favors is not good. He's a minus 0.8, but he'd gotten a little better as the year went on. And Rodney actually is not great. He's a minus 0.6 for the season. I just want to make sure this is updated. What just happened? Let me make sure this is updated as sometimes files get saved and they aren't as updated as they should be. Nope, this is pretty good. It's got Joe Ingles playing 72 games, so it's pretty updated. This is close. So Rodney Boris is at minus 0.6, and Alec is at minus 0.6, and Joe Johnson's at minus 0.4. So, you know, you can't get rid of, and none of them are, none, you know, those aren't good. You know, as good as Joe Ingles offensively is as bad as what, at 0.7 is what all those other guys are. The one that jumped out to me a little bit was I was looking at an old stat I haven't used in a long time, which is called Jack percentage. And it's the length of time it takes for a player to get a shot off. For example, if you're out on the floor and it takes, so Gordon Hayward takes a shot 1 point or uses a possession. Actually, I think it might just be a shot. This is an old stat. Like, I haven't used this in ages. Gordon is a 1.87 jack percentage. So what it really is you're taking the amount of shots he's taking, amount of minutes he's on the floor, to the amount of possessions used either to get fouled or take a shot. So every 1.87 minutes, so a little less than 2 minutes, Gordon Hayward takes a shot. The second highest on our roster is Alec Burks, tied with Rodney Hood. And then George Hill's right there. So that's not great. That jumped out at me a little bit. That if Alec is on the floor, he's the second most likely, Gordon's on the floor, he's the second most likely guy to take a shot. Now, I've said this before about Alec. I think that we've all miscast him. He's always been put on the floor as like the Vinnie Johnson sixth man. And then it's his job to go create all the offense. And I actually think that's a mistake. I think Alec would be best if he played as the fifth best player on the floor. Everybody else created the advantage, and he took advantage of the advantage that they've created throughout the possession. Now, that would ask him to make a pretty big change in his game. One that I don't actually, Alec's desire to be good is really high. So I actually don't doubt, and at this point I think he's probably trying to find anything that works. I don't doubt he could make it. It'd just be a big switch. Not one anyone's ever asked, so you don't know. What suddenly jumped out to me, the contrast is that Dante Exum uses a possession about every 3 minutes. Still fairly high. Joe Ingles is about every 4 minutes. Rudy Gobert is like every 3.5. Boris Diaw is about every 4 minutes. Just to put it in contrast. And maybe all of a sudden, well, the problem we have is that when Alec is in the game, the offense is working off of Alec, and Alec is not, at this point of the season, having, he's got a career-low effective field goal percentage of 46%. He's a minus-six pack player. He's not particularly efficient. So then I started to kind of play around a little bit, and this is where I found some things. And I don't know what the value, I mean, there's so much noise here. I'm more just sharing kind of the research I did. So in games which Alec has played 20 or more minutes, we're 4-7. Like, that's actually, now that could be because we're pretty injured that day, so that could be really misleading. But 4-7 on a team that's 45-29, that gets, excuse the cough, that gets to be a bit much. We've had 22 games where he's played 15 or more. We're 10-12. That's if he plays 15 or more minutes. Again, a lot of variables. I'm very hesitant on some of this stuff. But it is worth pointing out that if he doesn't play 15 minutes, we're 35-17. Which is suddenly a 67 win percentage. That's eye-opening. Okay? So then I was like, well, what about just if I looked at shot attempts? Is that fair? Like, so in games in which Alec takes 9 shots, it's 11 games. There's probably a lot of overlap here, but not entirely. We're 4-7. If you take 8 shots, it gets a little better. Then we're 8-9. But even there, you know, we're not a 500 team. So if you take 7 shots, you've got 18 games. I think we're 8-10. Might be 9-9. We're 9-9. Frankly, as the number drops, right, it got better, right? If you go to the games and we start going down and we go find the games where he takes, you know, 4 or less shots, that then became interesting to me, is we're 9-4. So now the question got to me, okay, wait a sec. If we're 9-4 in the games he's played where he takes 4 or less shots, what happens if Dante played those minutes and just didn't shoot or took 4 shots in the same amount of minutes? And those possessions are then allocated to players that are more efficient offensively. Now, here's a little bit of the rub, is that a bunch of our guys aren't having great years. So those possessions, well, Dante actually has got a less pack, but that's because he uses fewer possessions, I think. Actually, not really. So Dante would be fine. We actually would get a little better. Joe Johnson, we would get a tiny bit better. Joe Ingles, George Hill, Gordon Hayward, Rudy Gobert, better. Rodney Hood is the same. Shelvin Mack, Derek Favors, Trey Lyles would be less good. But there is an interesting, at least to me, this is where I think numbers get really interesting, concept here, that if you take Alec Burks out, you're actually not asking someone to equal his production or give you the same thing. You're actually asking them to not do stuff or allow other players that are more efficient to do their thing. It's a hard one. Alec brings a skill set that we don't have on the roster. And so you look at his ability to make a play, get to the rim, do some things like that as a coach, and you think to yourself, all right, I think I got to play that, particularly if your offense is struggling. Now, by the way, games which he shoots a lot all could be games where we're struggling. There's a lot of noise in this. I think it's a more interesting exercise. I wish we didn't know the players' names, frankly. You know, if I had done this all as player A, player B, and player C, and had you just kind of, you know, go through the process of, well, if you're going to replace this player, how are you going to get that? Well, actually, in this case, if you're replacing the player, I actually don't think you even want his production. I think you actually just want his production moved to other players. This is the big kind of thing I've been on all year long, is that the players that are negatively using possessions, you're better off having a player that simply just doesn't use possessions there, and the reallocation of those possessions makes you a better team. I don't know. That was just a thought, frankly. Sacramento's a little interesting today. Before we touch into them, though, I want to talk a little bit about my friend Devin Cash. I feel like he's my friend. We've done all this stuff together and keep talking about things. It's cool. Devin Cash advertised with us from the very beginning. You know, probably took a little stretch financially. Hopefully it's worked out for him. And then when you get stories like this, so Andrew Thorson, who is a name I recognize. Like this guy, Andrew has been around Locked on Jazz. I think he might have been a Google Plus guy. I mean, he's just been around. So now all of a sudden I got a guy whose name I recognize, who's been a longtime listener to Locked on Jazz, and he emails me and says, I want to let you know, September of 2016, my wife and I chose to both sell and purchase a house with Devin Cash because of your advertisement on Locked on Jazz. Now that, first off, like, that's a responsibility to me. Like, whoa. Like, okay, I'm telling you that you should look at a Hyundai. I'm telling you you should use Devin Cash. Like, these places better be good. Like, oh, wow. That's like, oh, gosh, please do not tell me the rest of this email is going to be that you had a horse crap experience. Earlier in 2016, I'd worked with two other realtors, one of which would take a day or two to get an appointment on a house, and in the market, usually the house was no longer available. The second was very impatient and pushed me to make several offers, stating we could always pull back the offer if we changed our minds or were not sure, and then proceeded to get upset whenever we pulled back the offer. Yeah, the oldest trick in real estate. I was listening to your daily podcast, heard your advertisement for Devin Cash, immediately gave him a call. Working with Devin was a wonderful experience. He would pick us up from our house on the same day. He found a house he wanted us to see. He was so patient, told us that he had clients that had taken up to a year to offer a house. I never once felt like we were pressured or guilty when we chose not to offer on any of the three homes that we would see in the same day. We probably saw 20 or more homes in a span of a month. Once we found the house of our dreams, he worked hard to help us get a quick offer, get our house on the market. Our house sold under contract in a week for $10,000 more than we had expected. So that is the kind of person we're dealing with, Devin Cash. Check him out. If you're just looking to think about getting the market, he'll give you a look at your home's value and a free market analysis. His number is 801-759-1495. 801-759-1495. That's 801-759-1495. I bet you he was doing two free Jazz and season tickets. I'll bet you he'll do a little playoff package for you at this point. He's been doing equal value for other people, but he's playoff tickets. And you know what it really means? If you have a buddy who's thinking about selling a house, tell him to call Devin Cash, because then maybe he'll take you to the game. 801-759-1495. All right, Sacramento's interesting. They've won two big games recently. They're playing all their young kids. They're going to come with great energy. If our guys are tired, they're not going to be able to go. They're not really that different than without DeMarcus. Pre-All-Star break, they were the their offensive rating was 104.5. It's now 103.4, and it's getting better. Their defensive rating was 108.9. It's now 109.8, which is actually better than the other because during the time of year. They're really virtually the same. Their effective field goal percentage offensively was 13th. It's now 11th. Post-All-Star break. It is 13th for a season. It's 11th post-All-Star break, so they're actually shooting better. They're shooting the three better. They don't go to the line as much. It's really the biggest deal. Buddy Hield's been okay for them. Their defensive three-point percentage was at 37%. It's now down to 35, so they're defending much better. They don't defensive rebound. They don't force a lot of turnovers, probably athleticism and youth and strength. So this is not an easy one. It's just a have-to-have one, really. Good things last night. Warriors beat the Rockets. We need the Warriors to win as much as possible and the Spurs to lose, so there's very little riding on our last two games. You know, that's just... You're begging at this point, but I think we're in a position where with a few losses, we probably need to beg. Games were great last night. I just sat in my room and listened to the radio calls of all the games. Heat game winner. Timberwolves pulled off a remarkable win. Rubio got fouled and hit three free throws late. Hawks came back to beat the Suns. Blazers were brilliant last night. Blazers are heading toward the playoffs, man. Terry Stotts got that thing finally going. I'll tell you what. I don't think the Warriors are going to love the Blazers in the first round. I don't think they're going to lose, but those guards give them a piece of work. And if Durant's not right, that will not be a four and out series. And I don't think Portland's scared of Golden State anymore. All right, that is today's edition of our regularly scheduled regular program. Now here's the conversation I had with Jason Ross of Locked On Kings. Thank you very much for tuning in to Locked On Jazz today. Locked On NBA, Zach Harper joined me. Talk hoops, really fun conversation. But here's my conversation with Jason Ross.
I'm great. I'm a little nervous. You guys are on fire. We appreciate both of them, though. I would tell you that. We are very thankful for last night, and we're very thankful for that stunning defeat of the Clippers. So, go Kings!
Yeah, and I want to get into kind of where the Jazz are, and even the Kings. We had a great game with the Jazz the last time when Gobert had the game winner. We'll kind of discuss that in a moment. But I actually going to go to what we're doing. This concept, you've been doing this for a while, but I've been intrigued by it. It's been fun to do Locked On Kings all year. We've had good feedback from our great Kings fans, but just kind of curious how this concept. Kind of started now that we got you on here. Just how did the brain trust come together with this?
Well, since we're in Sacramento, I think actually if really the way this thing built out is because of fan bases like Sacramento and Salt Lake City. Like, and I'm sure you are getting great feedback in this. You do it more, you know, you really will become this lifeline for fans that are both in Sacramento and outside of Sacramento, and this becomes the number one source for them on how they get their Kings news and what's going on, and you build an incredible relationship with them. That's what I've been doing in Salt Lake City, and the numbers really began to grow, and And so I realized there was something that, that worked here. Then the question was, okay, well, is it unique to Salt Lake? Is it unique to me being the radio voice? Is it unique to basketball? And when you really think about what podcasts are, is they're just another form of audio delivery, right? You do audio delivery during your radio shows too. This is a mobile version. This can go with you wherever you want. So obviously can radio apps, but this is, and it's an on-demand immediate thing where, you know, it's really nice if you're a fan of a team and if you live in Minnesota and you really care about the Timberwolves, and you suddenly flip on the sports talk radio, you're probably getting Vikings or Twins talks a lot of the time. And
sure.
So this way, you know, you can get your Timberwolves talk in Sacramento, Salt Lake. You're probably, this is a little bit of a case where you have just such a passionate, incredible fan base that they want their information from someone they really trust like yourself. So that's the first thing, is it just an, you know, we're, the last thing that's not on demand, frankly, the last thing that's not on demand in our entertainment world is talk, is radio. And it's really kind of like, if you think about it, if you want to listen to yourself or listen to Katie or listen to Grant, or you have to do it when they're on.
Right.
But there's nothing else in my life in which I have to do when they're on. I do it when I want it. So that's kind of what, one of the main things where I really believe podcasting is going to win the audio delivery world over time, is everything else is on demand. And then the second thing is that most podcasts became somewhat ego-driven long-form formats where people were doing them because they like to talk for an hour. And, you know, maybe they had guests and things of that sort. But most people don't have an hour. You know, the average commute time, even in some of the traffic flying in, even here in Sacramento, is 15 to 22 minutes is what most people have. And so we're trying to put together a bite-sized thing that you can grab first thing in the morning. You can grab it in you do a great job of getting them out at night. I know more about the Kings because of you and your great post-game Locked on Kings podcast. I listen to almost all of them. It gives me just such a great recap of what the team's doing. If you're a fan, you're able to just grab it first thing. Maybe you grab it over your lunch hour. Maybe you grab it on your morning commute. Maybe you grab it on your workout, you know, wherever it fits into your life. So it's on demand. It's short. It's bite-sized. It's passion moments of the local teams. And I just think this is where the audio delivery is going in the future, right? You know, personalities will drive, but so will passion toward teams. And I think that's what we're trying to create.
And what's cool, when I was, kind of jumped into this endeavor, I followed you, have known you for years and saw how it's worked for you. I knew Sacramento had potential to work, but I thought the coolest part for me is seeing people that I respect, like Doris Burke on national TV talking about listening to Locked On Rockets prepping for a game. Brent Berry always references that. So you could just tell that it's really catching the attention of a lot of people. I think that probably blew you away.
Yeah, it's neat to see. You know, those two are the hardest working people I know in the business. I'm always admired that they actually realize, unlike Brent's brother or some others who don't ever think the local people might actually know more about their team than they do. And so I always admire those two. I think it's a statement actually more of Doris and Brent, but it is interesting to me who's listening. The mayor of San Antonio just retweeted Locked On Spurs the other day.
Wow.
Daryl Morey retweeted a Locked On Rockets show the other day. So it's interesting, you know, it's clear that the audience is there and that some of the audience really matters. And, you know, I've got the stories of, I've come up to coaches in the league who've said to me, like, well, I was listening to your podcast to find out about your team today. Like, so there's definitely, it's out there. People are aware of it.
That's awesome. We're talking with David Locke here, of course, the radio play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz. Jazz and Kings again, Wednesday, Golden 1 Center. Last time, David, we kind of referenced this earlier, a great game. Rudy Gobert absolutely lit up the Kings, but Kings have been playing well as of late. I'm just curious what you think of the Sacramento Kings now than maybe when you saw them earlier in the season when Rudy Gay was around and certainly when DeMarcus Cousins was still a King.
Well, it's interesting. If Rudy Gay hadn't got hurt, I think you guys would be really good right now. Not really good, but I actually think you could have made a playoff run if Rudy Gay wasn't hurt. If he was just let Rudy, you know, get rid of DeMarcus, let Rudy go, and have the young guys all playing as hard as they are around him. Because at times right now, the only thing I've noticed watching you is just you just aren't always sure where you're getting your points. So it'd be nice to have that one. Nice to have a high usage player on your roster. I was talking to one of our assistant coaches on the plane just a few minutes ago, and he just thinks that you guys are where we were 2 years ago. I think it might have been three. They're from their standpoint,
right,
they're looking at 2 years ago because that's when that staff took over. I think you're probably 3 years ago, frankly. I think you're probably in our year. then you might still have one more in our year where we tanked, where we got the fifth pick in Dante, and you might actually have one or two more years of that before you get to where we were 2 years ago. But it's the same concept, and you certainly are going to have a number of assets coming your direction. So I like where you are. You weren't winning and weren't going to win in your previous situation. Moreover, with the knowledge that you had internally to go give someone $250 million, with that knowledge, I think would have been basketball Harry Carey and not the broadcaster. And the final thing I would say on this is, if without being total peaches and cream here, so if there's a criticism from the outside of the Kings, to me, it's you knew enough that that move should have been made a long time ago. Okay, so that you probably, if you want to criticize, the criticism is you had enough internal information of behavior, personality, what it would have meant to have that personality be the lead, you know, the main personality in your team, that the move should have been made. Okay, we got it. That is a valid criticism. But from this point forward, the move that was made on that day, that was the move that could be made that day, and it's time to move forward, and you're in a better position today than you were two months ago.
Totally agree. And kind of the first part I want to almost go back to, because this is something I've been thinking of more lately, on Rudy Gay. You made the statement that if he was still around with this team, kind of that consistent 20-point score, maybe they're better. With that said, I know Rudy probably has some opt-out options here, maybe some teams looking at him. If you're the Kings, do you look at bringing him? Well, if he opts in, obviously that's different, but do you think it's a good partnership to get Rudy back here?
Well, I don't, just because he had an Achilles tendon.
Yeah.
And nobody's really ever come back from the Achilles tendon.
Not the same
Matthews
way.
Is coming close, but he's not, and he's nowhere close. I mean, it pains me to say that. Like, Wesley Matthews is, like, I love players I missed terribly on. Like, oh my gosh, I couldn't have missed more on what Wesley Matthews was going to become.
Mm-hmm.
But you watch him play for Dallas, and I mean, the effort and the heart and the warrior is so great that nobody wants to criticize, but like, he's not very good. Like,
yeah.
He's just not the player he was in Portland. So, the only reason I would say no to that is that the Achilles. Now, if I'm Rudy Gay, I opt in. Because I opt in unless I'm concerned that I'm going to just not be played.
Right.
Right? So I'd have to, I guess, and that would be the move that if the Kings want him to opt out, they should probably tell him, like, you know, it's great, but you're not going to play. Like, we're in a youth movement. You're going to sit on the end of the bench. We're never going to play. We're going to bury your career and you're dead. So opt out. And that's brutal, and it's not the greatest way to do things, and agents will be really mad at you, but probably might be the right move for the Kings. If he was told, you know, we'll give you a fair chance to play, I would opt in, because there are enough young players, he could probably average 18 and 6 and then have a market value that's higher than what he would have next year coming off of Achilles.
Yeah, all while he recovers and still helps this team too. Yeah, that's interesting.
And the game's actually moved in Rudy Gay's direction. I thought it was a travis. It was just terrible. Last year, under George Karl, was the year that I just thought was Rudy Gay was really good the year before, when they put the ball in his hands and let him run some pick and rolls. And, you know, why not play him at the four and win four or five pick and rolls with him and DeMarcus Cousins? And you sign Rajon Rondo, and so then Rudy Gay never touches the ball anymore. I'm a Rudy Gay fan. I know that every time he leaves a team, they get better, but I like Rudy Gay, and I thought that with the game playing and playmaking four, I thought Rudy Gay could really do that well. And it's just too bad if you just left Darren Collison be your point guard and let Rudy Gay really play with the ball in his hands. I thought the four, that combination with DeMarcus, could have been really special with Rudy at the four.
Yeah, so, it's strange.
I thought, you know, let's be honest, everything with DeMarcus on paper is special, and then reality is not on paper.
Yeah, no doubt. And what's interesting is Rudy's had some hesitation playing the four, but you're right, in the present-day NBA, I think that's the perfect spot for him. I mean, I think he could really flourish there, but he hasn't always loved that, but I think that's the best spot right now.
Well, trust me, I've had some conversations with him. He loved less how little he touched the ball with George Karl.
Yes. Well, that's true. That is true. What about you guys? So the Utah Jazz kind of getting ready right in that sweet spot of that four range, maybe five. It just depends on all how it shakes out. But it looks like four is going to roughly be your seeding. What's your playoff outlook? Does it matter who you play? Do you have a preference who you play in that opening round?
Well, I think with as young a team as we have, we really desperately need home court advantage. So I think that's, you know, if we can get four, you've got to get it. And if we get four, it's pretty remarkable from going non-playoff team to four. We need, I'm checking right now, we need the Rocket. Oh, good, the Warriors are ahead. We need the Warriors to win and the Spurs to lose games because the end of our schedule is brutal. If that is, if those games matter late in the year for those two teams, then we're going to end up sixth.
Mm. You don't want that.
And, well,
or
no,
do
I
you?
Really
how do you play the Rockets?
I like, no, I mean, the Rockets are, I find it really interesting that somehow everybody thinks they want to play the Rockets. Like, they're historically great offensively, people.
Yeah.
We've beat them a few times, but it's only because we were equally as good offensively. And I don't think you can plan on doing that. But we finished the season at home against San Antonio on Wednesday. So it'd be awfully nice if they decided that they didn't need to play that game. And then we play the prior Monday on the 10th at Golden State, which I'm assuming they'll probably come out and play, but particularly because it's at home, and I think it's their last home game of the year, so they're not going to put. Well, no, they play the Lakers, so maybe they give their guys off. You know, maybe we get really lucky and you get two nights in a row where guys don't play. Otherwise, our schedule is really brutal. We've got Portland twice, is playing great. A lot of hard games here in our finals, whatever, seven or eight games. So it's going to be hard for us to hold on to four, though. We really, really, really appreciate your historical run the other night.
What if you guys get through round one, and I'm assuming you're staying away from one of those big three, who do you guys match up best, in your opinion, with Warriors, Spurs, or the Rockets, people that think they could win the West? So who do you match up best with those
three?
Well,
I mean, I think we match up better with the Rockets because they're not as good as the Warriors and the Spurs, but I think it's a laughable concept.
Yeah.
And the only thing on that is Rudy Gobert is so good, but they still have, they've had great offensive ratings against us. We've just beat them. Rudy Gobert is so, so good that we just make him guard both James Harden and Clint Capela rolling at the same time with a guard behind James Harden so he can't shoot a three, and then we stay on their three-point shooters, and they don't get threes. And when they don't get threes, they get anxious. When they're not taking their threes, they get uncomfortable. It's like, you know, if I don't get my chocolate chip cookie like at the right time and during the day, I get a little undone. And that's how they are. And then they start, you know, just jacking stuff up. And so that's what we've done against them is, and it looks really silly at times because Harden's so awesome that at times he just drives by Rudy and lays it up and in, and other times Capela dunks. But the fact is that they don't get their three-point shots, and we try to keep them off the foul line, and we've been able to beat them that way. But we've really been able to beat them because we were so good offensively. I'm not sure that happens again in the playoffs, but you'd play Houston just because we're not as good as the other teams. I just did a podcast today with Zach Harper on Locked On NBA. The Warriors are going to win their eighth straight if they win tonight, and we're going to talk about how we're worried about them. But I have had a lot of people in the league talk to me saying that there's something not right there, and there's a little disease of me going on, and I don't think Durant will be right. So I think the Warriors could be had. I just don't think we're the ones who could have them. And I'm just not getting – every time I prep for the Clippers, Jason, you've probably had this reaction. Every time I prep for the Clippers, I'm like, they're going to win the West. And then I see them in person, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, you prep for them and you're like, they're incredible. And then you see it in person and you're like, oh, they're not very good. Like, there's something seriously askew with that team.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm thinking about – you guys doing the hard work to get in, like you said, if you get to four, it's amazing from, you know, being out to number four. What's the next part of the equation? What's the next jump? What's the summer plan to get the Jazz into that even higher tier? What do they have to do?
Well, this is where, frankly, it's really probably nerve-wracking for King fans to hear, because you're going to do all these things right. Like, we've generally done most things really, really right, and then it all falls apart in the offseason, if Gordon Hayward decides he wants to play somewhere else and George Hill decides he wants to play somewhere else. We're starting over again.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with this game.
What's, you know, the likelihood of
Scal
that?
And, yeah, I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein and Scal, and I don't know if you think Buddy Hield's that guy. And
yeah.
I have to see him. He's got to be a little better than he was when I've seen him this year for me to believe that. But, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein's far better than I thought he was out of the draft. And I think Willie Cauley-Stein has a chance. You know, it was interesting. We were talking with James Hamm, and you guys were so. And I'm James is a good basketball guy, and so I'm this comment I'm about to make is referenced because he's a good basketball guy. You guys were so used to having a center that scores in the way that DeMarcus Cousins does that he actually wasn't capable yet of wrapping his brain around having a rim-rolling, defensive-minded center who could change games. Well, I'm watching one every day. Rudy Gobert is a top number one defensive player in the game, and he is a top 10 most impactful offensive player in the game. I know this is hard for everyone to understand, like, but he doesn't have any moves, and all he does is dunk. Right. If everybody could dunk every play, they would. He's one of the few guys who can.
Yeah.
He's a top 10 offensive player in the NBA in his impact on the game, and he's the number one defensive player. If you could get Willie Cauley-Stein to be Gobert light, you should be ecstatic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's and that's what's fun. That I mean, that's what I've said, you know, besides the obvious offshoot of trading Cousins, but that has opened up minutes for Willie Cauley-Stein. Scal wasn't even playing. You add Buddy, who's come here and been much better, averaging about 16 as a King and shooting 50%. You're even seeing Papianis, who, you know, when they draft him, you're thinking, I don't even know what he is, and nobody's thinking he's anything amazing yet, but looks like a guy that can be someone that could contribute off your bench. So it just
by the way, I'm aware of another team that was anxiously awaiting to draft Papianis.
Really?
Not the Utah Jazz, but another team in the NBA was anxiously awaiting to draft Papianis in the first round.
Okay.
And thought they had faked everyone else out.
Not as high as 13, probably, but still interested. That's interesting.
But that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I hate that. That's one of my biggest pet peeves in the world. And that's too early for him. Well, you know what? I don't have another pick. So, like if we had taken Rudy Gobert, we had 14 and 22 that year, and we traded them for Trey Burke. Boy, that worked out. and then we bought Gobert at 27, which is, like, one of the greatest moves in the history of the NBA. If we had taken Gobert at 14, you know what everybody say? Interesting prospect, way too early.
Right.
Really? Because he's the best player in that draft.
Yeah.
So, no, if you like a guy, take him when your pick is.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, it's going to be fun to see how this matchup goes. I know the Kings are ending their long run of playoff teams. They've got their first matchup with DeMarcus later in the week Friday. I know you guys just played them. So that's what's so great about the NBA. Just every night,
you
never know.
Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis is so great when DeMarcus Cousins is off the floor.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, they've had some of their better games.
If you didn't see the numbers I tweeted yesterday, they were incredible.
Yeah, I did check him out.
He shoots 14 percentage points less well when DeMarcus is on the floor and like 27 percentage points less from three.
Yeah, they've had three of their biggest blowouts when DeMarcus hasn't been there. And it's just some of that doesn't seem to make sense, but it's working beautifully for them without him sometimes.
Like, why doesn't it make sense?
Yeah. Well, that's crazy. Well, David, it was great catching up with you. I know we'll see you at the game. Thank you so much for launching this network, too. It's been fun for me, and we'll do it again sometime soon.
And by the way, if you'd like to have your company mentioned about 10 minutes ago to diehard King fans, you can do it, and you get a 98% male audience that's about 75% men 25 to 54, about same number 18 to 44, maybe even as high as 80. I haven't looked at Jason's numbers recently. And podcast listeners are 56% more likely to interact with sponsors and advertisers than other media forms. So you should have your company advertising on this with diehard King fans, people you know that you connect with, and have them connect with your company. And email Jason at
jason.ross@cbsradio.com. How about that? That was well done.
There you go.
It's like you've done this before.
Maybe.
Maybe a time or two.
Yeah.
Perfect. David, thank you so much. And yeah, we'll see you soon.